Okay, Chevra, what I'd like to do, as I mentioned, is to kind of get through the sugyas of Bishul and Shabbos until Mem Beis Amud Beis, and we'll give you some time for Chazaria, and then we'll have some sort of oral bechina with people. In order to get through the sugyas of Bishul on Mem Beis, we have to learn the rest of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And what we have on Mem Beis Amud Aleph at first, and we spoke about this yesterday briefly, is a discussion, a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that you are allowed to put chamin l'toch tzonein. According to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to put cold water, you're allowed to put hot water into cold water, but you are not allowed to put cold water into hot water. That's the position of Beis Shammai. And the position of Beis Hillel is that you are allowed to put hot water into cold water, and you're allowed to put cold water into hot water and cold water into hot water. Both are permitted according to both are permitted according to Beis Hillel. The Gemara has a discussion about Reb Shimon ben Minasya, what Reb Shimon ben Minasya says, and it seems from the
There's a little bit of an echo, if that'd be good for her.
Let's try to move it. Is this better? And let's try this again. Is this better?
So.
Not completely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now the echo. Does anyone still hear the echo? Give me a thumbs up if there is no echo. Okay, excellent. So let's just review. We have a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Basically, the dispute is, can you put cold water into hot water? There are two other variables that emerge in the Gemara. One is a variable of ambati. Ambati is a bath, which means water that is used for bathing rather than water that is used for cooking. Right? Ambati, water that's used for bathing, the Gemara says that sonein letoch chamin is going to be forbidden by an ambati, even according to Beis Hillel. I want to speak about that probably on Sunday. Cold water into hot water, if it's bathing, then it's a problem. But in a kos, if I am putting the cold water into hot water in order to drink, so Beis Hillel would say that in a kli sheni, it certainly is no problem at all. Tzonein l'toch chamin is okay in a kos. There is a question about a seifel. A seifel apparently is some sort of bathing device. My understanding is that an ambati is a bathing device that is in the ground, and a seifel is like an above ground tub. There's some discussion in the Gemara whether Seifel is like an Ambati or Seifel is not like an Ambati. Is an above ground tub also going to be problematic if you put cold water into hot water? And the conclusion of the Gemara is that Seifel is not like Ambati. There is a bit of a variable about what Rav Shimon ben Minasya holds, and perhaps we'll discuss that again on Sunday. So on Sunday, I want to have the conversation regarding bathing. But today, I want to discuss with you this discussion. I want to talk with you about why is it that Beis Shammai says you cannot put cold water into hot water, but Beis Hillel would say that you're allowed to put cold water into hot water. So Rashi has a comment, and Rashi says that hot water into cold water is fine, presumably within Beis Shammai, because Tita'a Gevar means, the Gemara in Pesachim discusses, when I have kosher food and non-kosher food, and they come into contact, and one is hot and one is cold, so which one wins? Does the top one win? That is the position of Ila Agavar. That is the position of Rav in the Gemara there in Psachim Daf Ayin Vav. But the position of Shmuel is Tata'a Gevar, that the bottom one wins. Rashi understands that... Hi, Ari.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't understand the case of kosher food and not kosher food together. I don't understand.
So let's say I have cold pork that falls into hot kosher milk or hot kosher food. So do I assume that it becomes, that the entire thing becomes non-kosher? If cold falls onto hot, so then the bottom one wins and the whole thing becomes non-kosher. But if I hold that the top one wins and the top one is cold and the bottom one is hot, so all you have to do is like scrape off a teeny bit of area where the treif touched the kosher and you're good to go. Right, the Gemara over there is speaking in the context of Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach has to be tzli eish. It has to be roasted on the fire. Let's say in the course of roasting it on the fire, you're roasting it inside an oven on the fire. So let's say some of the liquid of the Karban Pesach goes and shoots against the wall and comes back. So that's the context there of the Gemara. That's why it appears in Psachim. But there is a dispute between Rav and Shmuel, whether Ila'a Gevar, that's the position of Rav, that if the top one is hot and the bottom is cold, the top wins. The position of Shmuel is intuitively much more correct, that Tita'a Gevar, that the bottom one wins. I say intuitively more correct because we know that heat rises. So if the lower one is hot, so presumably that would win over the upper one that is cold. That's the position of Shmuel. Rashi over here, in the explanation of Beis Shammai, Rashi says that hot water into cold water is okay because Tita'a Gevar, because the bottom one wins. But cold water into hot water is not okay because Tita'a Gevar. Right? In other words, according to Rashi, the issue is that the bottom defeats the top, the bottom overpowers the top, because as a matter of halacha, we paskin Tita'a Gevar. So that's why cold water into hot water is a problem according to Beis Shammai. Now it's interesting, and just like for your thought, Rashi seems to be explaining Beis Shammai. Rashi is not addressing the position of Beis Hillel at all. No? Did you notice this? It's really strange. Because what Rashi is doing is he's invoking a principle from Psachim. And Rashi over there in Psachim Daf Ayin Vav tells me that I paskin Tita'a Gevar. And Rashi is using that in explanation of Beis Shammai. But Rashi does not really tell me why Beis Hillel would disagree. And we'll have to leave this, hold it in abeyance for a while, in part because I don't know the answer. I don't know, according to Beis Hillel, why is it that you're allowed to put hot water into cold water and cold water into hot water if the rule of Tita'a Gevar applies? So it should be that cold water into hot water is a problem. Right? Beis Shammai seems to win based on the principle in Maseches Psachim that Rashi is invoking. Rashi is not telling me why Beis Hillel would be ignoring that principle. Now, Tosfos comes along. The Tosfos Nosein. Tosfos says that when Beis Hillel permits cold water into hot water, it's only in a klisheni. And then Tosfos writes, let's pick up It's four lines before the lines get wide in Tosfos. Tosfos writes, "V'lo mishum de savra hach braisa de tata agavar kidapirish bukuntris." It cannot be that the reason why it's permitted, or let me say, the reason why Beis Shammai permits hot water into cold water, but forbids cold water into hot water, is because of tata agavar, because of this principle that the lower one wins. That can't be. The imkain yiksha mehacha lamanda amar ilo agavar. Right? So first of all, Tosos has what I would call a red herring type of question. It is what you should ask, how would our Gemara be explained according to the opinion that ilo agavar, according to the opinion that the top one wins? I'm saying that's like a red herring question, because Rashi gives the explanation of Tata Agavar, and Rashi says that the halacha follows Tata Agavar. So our Gemara is based on how we paskin the halacha.
Rabbi, isn't that a machlokas on Yonan? That was Tata Agavar, Yilagavar, and we're talking about a machlokas Tanayim. So when you still have to explain how the
other Yeah, kind of, sort of. You're right. You're right in the sense what Eli is pointing out is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a dispute. And Rashi's explanation only makes sense according to one opinion in the Amoraim, but presumably because the Tanoim are before the Amoraim, so the Tanoim have to accommodate both positions. That's sort of your question, right? Or that's your comment.
That's what Tosis is asking.
Right. Okay, I mean, again, I'm not sure how to do these things in terms of like the historical levels. If I paskin la halacha that tata agavar, does that mean that I assume that everyone in previous generations assumed that way also? I don't know, but you're making a good point. But Tosis' first question, let's just go through the Tosis. Tosis' first question is, well, how would our Gemara be explained according to the opinion ilo agavar? Moreover, Tosos asks, "Ulamanda amar tata agavar nami hamivasho kede klipa kamo sha'afarish lekamon be'ezus Hashem." The Gemara then in Pesachim says that let's say the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold. We follow the opinion of tata agavar that the bottom one wins, but that does not mean that nothing happens. That means that a klipa is forbidden. A klipa is that tiniest layer. It's like if you take a scalpel and you cut off that thinnest layer, that's a klipa. It's almost like the outer shell of an onion. It's a tiny, tiny bit becomes forbidden. So Tosis is bothered. How can you tell me that our Gemara is based on the principle of Tata Agavar, at least within Beis Shammai? Because even if you hold Tata Agavar, when the upper one, when the higher one is hot and the lower one is cold, nonetheless, there is some element of cooking that the klipa becomes forbidden. If the klipa, that top, tiniest layer of the lower thing, becomes forbidden, so that means there is some cooking going on. If that's the case, Tosfos asks, there is no way of saying that our Gemara is following Tata Agavar. And therefore, when the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, there is no problem. Because even if you hold Tata Agavar, when the top one is hot and the bottom is cold, there still is a tiny bit of a problem. A klipa, that tiny shell, is still a problem. That's Tosis' question. Now, this leads Tosis to give a different explanation of the Gemara. But in defense of Rashi, if you look in the Korban Nisanel, on the bottom of the Rush, I think I gave you Ostzadi, the Korban Nisanel. And the same idea is also found in the Tosos Rid. Tosos Rid is an unusual Baal HaTosos in that he lived in Italy, no? Most of the Baal HaTosos, there were Jews at the time of the Baal HaTosos, let's say the 12th and 13th century. There are Jews in Italy also. The Tosos Rid happens to be a Jew from Italy. There are even some Tosos in England, no? There were Jews in these communities. If you have a Talmud Chacham in these communities, you write glosses. It's called Tosos. So the Tosos Rid comments that maybe the principle of Tita'a Gevar and Ila'a Gevar is not a principle that's relevant for Shabbos at all. In the sense of Tita'a Gevar and Ila'a Gevar is a principle in whether something becomes kosher or non-kosher. Is there absorption of flavor? When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, I don't care about flavor. I care as to whether you are cooking. So when the Gemara says that even if I hold Tita'a Gevar, nonetheless, when the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, still there is a tiny klipa that becomes forbidden, the explanation that Rashi might have is, you know what? That upper shell, that tiny bit that becomes forbidden, becomes forbidden. It's a halacha in kashrus. It becomes non-kosher. But it is not a halacha in cooking. Therefore, it is irrelevant for Hilchot Shabbos.
Rabbi, that's not the best defense of Rashi, because Rashi brought it up. It's saying, that's saying Rashi shouldn't have said anything.
So what Nady is commenting is, one second, if I am arguing that Tita'a Gevar is a principle only by Kashrus and not in Shabbos, so how come Rashi's invoking Tita'a Gevar, right, in the case of the bottom one being hot and the top one being cold? So Beis Shammai says, don't pour cold water into hot water because Tita'a Gevar. Right? But we said that the Tita'a Gevar is irrelevant for cooking on Shabbos. So that's a great question. And I think what the Tosos Rid and the Karban Nisano on the Rush, I think what they're saying is that the broader context of that sugya is relevant. The fact that heat rises, Tita'a Gevar, means that there is cooking when the bottom one is hot and the top one is cold. But this weird situation when the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, so in that weird situation, one can argue that that is not a halacha in cooking. That halacha might only be relevant for kashrus. Again, I want to talk about this next week when we'll learn the Tosos on Mem Beis Amid Beis with respect to Iroi, right? We have to develop this idea more, but it would seem, just at a surface level, pardon the pun, that the klipa issue is only relevant for kashrus and not for basa, and not for bishul b'shabbos. And perhaps that's the defense of Rashi. But Tosos has a different explanation. Tosos writes, Elo nira kemosha pirish kemosha omer Rabbeinu Tam, in the first wide line of Tosos. Tosos says, it seems that what Rabbeinu Tam said is correct. Dichamen letoch tzonen, mashma shat tzonen in shalmata merubim. When I say I pour this into that, so that is bigger than this. Right? Whichever one I say, I'm pouring X into Y, that means that Y is bigger. There is more volume in Y than there is in X. So when I say that I am pouring chamin letoch tzonein, what that means is that there is more cold water than there is hot water. And when I say I'm pouring tzonein into chamin, that means there is more hot water than cold water. It is not about top and bottom. It's about volume. Which one is more? Which one is less? Now, obviously,
Rebbe's quoting the Aruch HaShulchan.
I am not quoting the Aruch HaShulchan because I think the Aruch HaShulchan is wrong. But we'll have to read the Tosis very carefully and see why the Tosis is not the same as the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay? Now, those of you who don't know what the Aruch HaShulchan said, give me 3 minutes and I'll try to explain it to you. But the point that Tosos is making is that Rabbeinu Tam says, let's just read it inside, Chamin Latoch Tzolin implies that there is more cold than there is hot. Shederech Litein Hamu'at B'meruba. That people put the smaller amount, into the larger amount. V'lachein Ein Mevashlin HaChamin Hamu'atin Klal Lefi shemis arvin bitzoninin hamerubin umis bato chamimusan. Therefore, the smaller amount of hot water does not cook because it gets mixed with the cold water umis bato chamimusan, meaning when I pour hot water into cold water, there is more cold water than hot water. And therefore, acharei kechlos hakol, when all is said and done, it is not hot. And that's why it is okay. But sonin l'toch chamin, where there is more hot water at the bottom and it gets mixed into it, so then it cooks. That's what Tosa says. Now, first of all, Tosa does not mean that there is more in the sense of just 51% to 49%. The question over here is whether there is enough hot water to heat up the cold water. I think that's pretty understandable. If you look at many of the other Rishonim, the Ran, for example, on Daf Yutes Amid Beis, going over to Chacham and Aleph, the Ran points out that the principle of Teta'a Gevar and Ila'a Gevar, that principle that Rashi invoked, that principle is only relevant when we are dealing with solids. But when we are dealing with liquids, so everything gets mixed together, and therefore I can't talk about top and bottom. It began with a top and bottom, but it doesn't end with top and bottom. It ends, everything gets mixed together. And the Ran develops the idea that the concept of teta'a gevar and ila'a gevar only applies to solids, not to liquids. Tosfos agrees with the Ran, mostly, partially, a lot. Meaning, read the Tosfos carefully, gentlemen. Nady, this is for you. This is for you. Tosfos' expression is not simply that I deal with volume and quantity. It's not only about which one has more. But Rabbeinu Tam says, Chav l'toch tzonin means that the tzonin at the bottom, the cold at the bottom is more than the hot. People usually pour the mu'at into the merubah. You pour the smaller amount into the larger amount. V'lochein, ein mevashlin hachamin hamu'atin klal lefisha misarvin b'tzoninin. Tosfos also uses this principle that the Ran developed, the principle of when things get mixed together, when I have liquids that come together. So the principle of Ila'a and Teta'a is less relevant than it would be elsewhere. According to the Ran, the principle of ilo'a and tata'a is not at all relevant when it comes to liquids. According to Tosfos, when it comes to liquids, then I use the concept, then I use the category of quantity. According to Tosfos, with liquids mixing together, quantity matters. The regular rule of ilo'a and tata'a does not matter. So it's similar.
Meaning the Ran says there's no ilah or tata'a at all, but Tosfos says there is an ilah and tata'a, it just gets adjusted. Instead of being positional, it's more quantitative.
That's correct. Now, based on this, Nady, I think you'll understand why I am saying this is not the same as the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's just give a very brief synopsis of what we're talking about. In Yerideya, we have a concept of a cheeseburger, right? Or let's talk about not just a cheeseburger. Let's talk about I have a hot piece of meat that lands on a cold piece of bread. Does that bread become fleshic? Or a hot piece of treif meat lands on a cold piece of bread? Or a cold piece of bread lands on a hot piece of treif, right? Over there, the Gemara in Psachim is quoted in Yerideya and Siman Tzadi Aleph to relate to the rules of Ilo'a and Tita'a. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Tzadi Aleph of Yerideya Se'if Dala, that Tita'a Gevara, that the bottom one wins. So if the bottom one is hot and the top one is cold, the bottom one wins. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan was the Rav of Nevardik. By the way, just very brief history over here. The Aruch HaShulchan gave smicha to which famous Zionistic rabbi? No one knows this. Who gave Rav Kook smicha, gentlemen? The Aruch HaShulchan. You should look in Rav Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yukom Damo. Rav Eitam was the son of Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, Rabbanit Henkin. He was killed with his wife, Nava. They were both killed. Extremely talented, wonderful people. They were both killed in their 30s. And Rav Eitam wrote a biography of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he points this out, that the Aruch HaShulchan gave smicha to Rav Kook. He also points out that the Aruch HaShulchan is the Rav of Nevardik. Nevardik is famous as being the home of a great Musar yeshiva, no? Nevardik Musar. The Aruch HaShulchan hated Musar. And the Aruch HaShulchan as the town rabbi is basically involved in trying to get this yeshiva out of his community. He felt that Nevardik is like the third rail. It's really funny. He's a really interesting guy, the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, in his opinion, the concept of ilo'a and tata'a does not make sense if we have very different quantities. If I have a tiny morsel of boiling hot bread at the bottom and a huge amount of meat comes down on top of that bread, Sarah Kashokun says, come on, how could the principle of ilo'a and tata'a be relevant? If tata'a means that heat rises. Okay, so heat rises. Well, how much heat is there in that tiny morsel at the bottom? And the cold thing at the top, right? How can the bottom win? If the bottom is so much smaller than the top? That's the Aruch HaShulchan's question. A strong question. Based on this, the Aruch HaShulchan says that it seems to him, and he has no evidence of this at all, but it seems to him that the category of ilah and tata'a only applies when I'm dealing with equal quantities. Nady, that's what you were saying? That's the Aruch HaShulchan.
Yes.
It only applies when there's equal quantities. And at first glance, you could say that maybe this is what Tosfos means. Because Tosfos says I only apply ilah and tata'a when, right, there are equal quantities. But when you have more hot than cold, right? So then the hot wins, even though, right, etc. Tosfos understands that you pour the smaller amount into the bigger amount, and therefore ilah and tata doesn't apply. It would seem that what Tosfos is saying at first glance is the Aruch HaShulchan. However, the way we just read Tosfos, Tosfos is only speaking about liquids. Only with respect to liquids, when there is no real ilah in tata'a in the sense of maybe for that first moment of contact, one is on the top, one is on the bottom, but it doesn't remain that way. So it's not pure ilah and tata'a. So only with respect to liquids does Tosfos invoke quantity as the governing principle. Tosfos is not the same as the Aruch HaShulchan.
Doesn't Tosfos say whenever you pour the like whenever you're pouring from one into the other, what you're pouring into is the bigger share?
The language that people use is I pour, and the mitzvah is I usually pour the smaller thing into the bigger thing. Right? Again, like my little 9-year-old son likes to experiment and do stuff. So he'll pour the larger amount of whatever into the smaller amount and the cup overflows. Right? That's what little kids do sometimes. Most people don't do that. You pour the smaller amount into the larger amount.
So then the Gemara stuff will also be talking about smaller amount to larger amount.
Well, the Gemara Pesachim doesn't say. Yes, the Gemara Pesachim is talking about even smaller amount into larger amount, and the Gemara applies the rule of ilah and tata'a because the Gemara there Pesachim is speaking about solids, not liquids. Exactly. I'm not sure. I don't think so. There's the Aruch HaShulchan understands that the concept of ilah and tata'a is only talking about when you have equal quantities. If anything, it's clear from the Gemara Pesachim that I'm not doing equal quantities. Because the Gemara Pesachim thinks that a little bit of rota, a little bit of juice lands on the Korban Pesach. That's not equal quantities at all. That's what the Bible code, the Badi HaShulchan, the Simin Sadi Ava, Bluff Bays, makes this point. The Aruch HaShulchan is just extremely difficult. Ari, you have a comment?
Yes. Are you getting feedback when I talk?
When you talk, no. When I talk,
oh, anchor, okay.
Not right. Muted, yes.
All right. Just since you mentioned a cheeseburger, I have this image of a sandwich in my head, and I just have to ask if I can ask a practical question. So if you have a bun and you put treif meat on it, does the bottom of the bun have the same status as the top of the bun?
No.
Could you take off the top and eat it, but you can't take off the bottom and eat it. Would that be accurate?
That's correct. In other words, if the treif hamburger, I mean, let's say we're talking about a hot hamburger, right? So the treif hamburger touches the bun. So technically speaking, only the upper level, only the klipa of the bun becomes non-kosher, and you could cut it off, and it's going to be the bottom of the bun would be kosher. As a matter of practical halacha, sometimes we are concerned, based on another rule, that a davar shamein, that a fatty thing penetrates deeper than klipa.
Mm-hmm.
According to theoretical halacha, you're 100% right. Okay, gentlemen, on Sunday we'll continue this discussion of ilah and tata'a, etc. Right now I just want to talk about a parasha topic. Give me a second, we'll close it, and then we'll start again.
Stop recording.
I think I just did that. They want to stop the cloud recording. The answer is